Once again, it's time to scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Today is Labella Day. We'll talk first to John Labella, who creates documentaries, then to his wife Teresa, who has written two books and is busy on a third. In between, it's Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. And here we are, John Labella. It's good to see you again, John.
Good morning, Don. Nice to see you again.
All right. What comes first when you're doing a documentary? Have you ever done a documentary role?
Well, only for assignments in school.
I see.
But no real ones.
What do you? I guess since we talk about books and so on, do you write something first?
I think very first is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And documentaries are less scripted, but you get an idea of the type of things that you want to say, the type of thoughts and expressions, what you want to capture. For example, the one I'm working on right now is called Words Never Spoken. And that would be addressing individuals to ask, if you could talk to anybody alive or dead, who would it be? What would you say, and more importantly, why?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it sort of gains insights into people. And because some people, oh, yeah, that's obvious, they'd choose that. But then other people are interesting. It's sort of progressing from, I think, from just a simple documentary, possibly to a website where people could say, okay, who is this person they want to talk to? And then maybe put up like an article about the person, the subject that they're wanting to talk to.
Yeah. So actually, you don't do a whole lot of writing when you do documentaries. You must make notes.
Yes, yes. And you know, obviously, it's an analysis of what the person being interviewed says, and then doing research on that character. Mm-hmm. You know, more writing comes when I do some of the short films I'm involved in. And that point, scripts are – a good script is paramount.
As we discover watching movies.
Yes. I mean, they have now got down – Hollywood has got down to a formula, you know, a three-act story, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end. But they've broken that down even further, that they can say, page 3 of the script, this event will happen to the hero. Page 96, this will happen. And it gets to be a point of, you know, we want something the same but different. And it's a formulaic process.
So how long have you been doing this? And more important, how did you ever get into it in the first place?
Well, it's a sort of revisiting a large cycle in the last century. Oh, I feel old saying
right.
That.
God, you don't look that old to me.
But I was doing photography in Toronto, Canada, and sort of wanted to make movies, but the equipment cost was so prohibitive. About three, 4 years ago, it was suddenly a realization that now with digital cameras and power of PCs, that anybody can create shoot a movie, edit it, and then present it. Mm-hmm. And it was thanks to my wife, we could do this now. And I sort of changed careers once more time.
Uh-huh. You know, it is amazing. I've complained about this, too, because I remember the early days of television. Shooting and editing film was just a pain,
yep.
A real pain. And now when I see what you can do with video equipment, and the quality gets better and better and better.
Well, I mean, they even have some, I've seen examples of some movies, like feature-length movies, shot on an iPhone.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. But maybe the quality, you know, it's not necessarily the equipment that it's shot on. It's the story being told, which is much more important.
Can you remember your first story that you made?
Well, let's look. Okay, in this version, I made a zombie movie.
Okay.
But it was entirely based on a joke I remembered when I was a kid in school in England. And that was the punchline at the end. I mean, what happened was these characters were being pursued and people being lost and that. And it came up, they were stuck and the zombies were coming closer and closer. And then the leader of the zombies came up and said, "You're it," and then turned around and ran off. So it was an old kid's joke.
So, and how long was that? I mean, how did you go about doing it?
Well, fortunately, first time we held an open casting call, and nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. In fact, it was a Valentine's Day, and my wife and I were sitting waiting outside because the district theatre kindly let us use it. You know, anybody can come there. Nobody. But then somebody from the Argus decided my story was interesting, so they put a big feature article on me. And next time we had an audition, we were packed. So we identify the characters, the various – and there are some very, very talented actors in this area.
Oh, yeah. There are. We're loaded in this community.
Yeah, so – and then over a series of time, we did some – and it's funny how the story changed because at one point I was going to have – kid zombies at the end playing in a park, but that just didn't work. And that's one thing with filmmaking, it's what gets cut out, what is not shown, what is you know, you have to be ruthless with your baby.
Oh, I have a friend who only wants to watch outtakes.
Yeah.
Things that didn't make it into the film. But and documentaries, you know, you say you had an idea, and you approach people. Who would you like to talk to? What would you ask them and why? Then how did you go about selecting people? Do you just do that at random?
I sort of look at people who I perceive or believe would be interesting to talk to. Who would have, you know, in the 16 years I've been in the Quad Cities and being around, I've seen numbers of different individuals and heard them speak on socially or thing and discussions they hear. So that would be an interesting person to talk to.
How does all that wrap up? I mean, what is the – you're going to sell your documentary. How do you sell it?
Good question. Money is always important. I'm not sure. As I said, if it evolves into a website, I am thinking that perhaps have a public access. So maybe have the people who go to it and maybe contribute to it shoot their own interview and then, you know, put it into a format that, you know, we can look at. Sort of like a visual Wikipedia.
It sounds as if the idea runs ahead of everything else. And you obviously have this drive, this impulse to do this. And nothing is really going to stop you.
I hope not. money always stops people.
Yeah, right. So where do you show these products?
Right now it's going to be like a social media type thing, the YouTube or, okay. Or there's another one, Vimeo. It is, again, going back to hating it, but it's the money factor. It's how to get to pay for this. You know, so far I've been I and my wife have been the financial backers of the whole project. We are exploring other.
Have you ever thought about grants?
We have, you know, but I'd like to get a little bit more body of work in the documentary to say, hey, this is the potential of this. This is what I've done so far. If I was able to get some financing, I could do this much more.
Roel, do you think film and video are going to overtake books?
No, but I mean, they've got their place, and I – But no, I don't think anything will ever. I mean, lots of things have tried to overtake books, and there are more books than there ever have been.
See, he's far more conservative
but
than
I. John is right, too. There are more documentaries and short films and things like that, and probably more places to show them. I would think, you know, if you could show a couple of them before a district theater performance or mm-hmm. something, like selected shorts or mm-hmm. something. I mean, I think there are some opportunities around to do that.
Yeah.
We did that once. Some people actually got an Academy Award with the film that they made with the Genesee Skill people.
Right.
And we showed it after a Greek play
right.
out in the park.
Or I think another a place, because I know the owner, it would be Dead Poets would be a place to show some documentaries and get a good discussion going. Or also Cool Beans, the coffee shop mm-hmm. up on 14.
Yes.
I mean, they would be amenable to,
yeah.
to an evening of shorts. Selected shorts.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and the important thing is that you keep going.
Yeah. But one thing I hope, but I don't think books are going to go away. I love books.
Yeah. Well, documentaries, though, have their place. And I know a lot of people look at documentaries as their favorite form of film or video. Well, John LaBella, thanks for talking to us about your passion, which you have turned into your own project and for sharing it with others. How do we see are you on the internet at a particular spot?
I have a website. It's www.sogwac, which stands for Some Old Geezer with a Camera.
Okay, very good. We'll remember that one. And thanks again for taking time with us today. We're going to be talking to your wife, Teresa, about the other subject of books, but right now it's time for our good friend, Garrison Keillor.